Well, there is a way of God that most believers, I believe, struggle to understand. And that is the mystery of God's silence. Because of God's power and the fact that we know He is the creator of the universe with unlimited authority, we often expect Him to respond to our prayers in that same way, with great power. We expect the seas of our storms to be parted. We want Him to shake the mountains and to send fire down from heaven in response to our pleas. Now, obviously, He can do that. He is the God of thunder. He is the God of earthquakes and of great winds. But God does not always shout His answers. God does not rush into action. And He does not always respond with the spectacular. The truth is, my friends, God most often works in the quiet. He moves in the stillness. He speaks in a whisper. He prepares in the unseen. And many times He brings His breakthrough in the silence. Consider just for a moment the most dynamic events of all time in history and how they came about. Think about this. Think about the creation of the universe. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:3, that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke a word, and all of existence came into being. Now, in the original Hebrew, in which the Old Testament was written, the word "said" translates into "spoke" or "uttered." That's it. Spoke or uttered. God brought the universe into existence, my friends, according to His word, not with a loud thundering shout or command that we would think would be required. It was just a spoken word. Now contrast that with Jesus when He raised Lazarus from the dead. This is John 11:43. The Bible says when He said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Now again, in the original language, this time in the Greek, the word "called" or "cried out" means to shout aloud, just what you think it would. But the Bible tells us that God simply uttered a word, "Let there be light." And in the voice of that quiet authority, all of creation came into existence. Think again, if you would, about the birth of Jesus. It was the stillness of an early spring morning. There was no blast of a heavenly trumpet. There were no angelic choirs singing the Alleluia chorus. Now, that wasn't even written yet, although I got to think that probably comes from heaven. There's nothing like that chorus. But by the way, the angels did sing, but that was not until later to the shepherds after Jesus had been born. But in that moment, there was no declaration. There was no public celebration. There was a young teenage girl. There was her husband. And they were likely lying in a stone grotto, not in a soft, comfortable bed. The only eyewitnesses were the common animals of a farmer. And she wrapped her newborn not in fine silken linens, but in the more common, likely rough wool swaddling clothes. And it certainly was not an ornate soft cradle where she laid him. It was an animal feeding trough. It was still. It was quiet. It was hidden from the fanfare that it deserved. And in that silence, the Savior of the world was born. And then think about the resurrection of Jesus. The pre-dawn hours. No one was there to see it. The tomb was sealed. The guards that the Romans had placed there were rendered ineffective, unable to report what it was that they thought had taken place. There was no earthquake. There were no great flashes of lightning. There was no earth-shattering peals of thunder. It was the stillness of that early morning on the third day. The stone simply rolled aside, and Jesus walked out. And in the solitude and the silence of that one single moment, the greatest victory in all of history was completed. Because God often works in the silence. He works powerfully in that. And the truth that we must understand, my friends, and embrace in our daily lives as we cry out to Him in the midst of our storms is that He is there. Even when we don't hear Him or see Him or perceive His presence. Over the next several Sundays, we're going to examine why God works in silence. We're going to take a closer look at the power of that silence. And then I want us to learn not only how to embrace the silence, but also to recognize the incredible blessings that God gives us during those times. So I want to take some time this morning, and I'd like us to look at the very first question. Why does God work so often in the silence? I've often wondered, why would He not just simply operate in our lives in the full power of His glory? Why not? He certainly can. God is unlimited. Would not a spectacular, dramatic intervention to my prayers bear great witness to the people around me? Would it not? Would that not convince those that don't believe in the truth of God's power and even His existence, prove to them that He is real, that He is present? And of course, the answer to those questions is yes. It would do all of those things. But here's what I believe I'm coming to realize, and I encourage you to think about this. God cares more about the circumstances of your life and your faith in Him than He does about how much His actions impress other people. He cares more about you. So why does He answer immediately? Why does He not move in the dramatic? Why does He allow us to endure the seasons of silence? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, right in the middle. And I want you to see just quickly that this is not a new thing. Dealing with the silence of God is not something that we're just coming to realize. The question has been asked for millennia. Psalm 13, this is David writing this. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" That's silence. "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts every day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." I want to share with you this morning four reasons I believe that God works in the silence. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. I'm sure you could come up with more, but I believe that they're important to our daily lives. So here's the first thing. I believe God works in silence to develop our faith. To develop our faith. The fact is, church, your faith does not grow. Your faith does not increase in the spectacular and the obvious. Does that make sense? Your faith does not continue to grow when something is obvious. Because you don't need the faith. It's right there. I see it. I don't have to hold for something that is unknown to me. You see, your faith grows in the unseen. Faith grows when there is little or no evidence that your prayer is even being heard, let alone being answered. It grows in the waiting, in the trusting, and in the not knowing. And as you are likely very aware, because it's a lifelong journey, faith does not just one day explode into your life. And now you're this place of all-powerful, serene living where I don't have to be concerned about anything. I'm fully confident in all things. It doesn't work that way. Your faith grows. It takes time. It increases not in huge strides, but in the consistent small steps of your life. Billy Graham was quoted as saying, "Your faith may be just a little thread. It may be small and weak, but act on that faith. It does not matter how big your faith is, but rather where your faith is." And we think back to what Jesus said, that if we could have just the faith, he said, of a mustard seed, we could do miraculous things. And I believe that God works in the silence of our lives when we're not even aware of where he is in that moment. We somehow feel that he's not near me, that my faith never allows me to dwell on that thought. My faith is increasing in him, even though I don't see him. It deals with the invisible. And as your faith grows, church, it forces you to trust in his forever promises. It forces you to trust in his perfect timing. It forces you to trust in his never-ending love. Hebrews 11:1 tells us very clearly, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And my friends, I believe what you must know without a moment of doubt is that what you hope for, what you do not see, is not the absence of God. It is in fact the field in which your unshakable knowledge and faith that he is active in the silence, it's where that grows. It's where it takes root. It's where it encourages you. God works in the silence so that our faith in him can be increased. The second thing I believe God does is he works in the silence in order to teach us to listen. Now listen, we live, I kind of said the word just right away there. That was reinforcement. I didn't even know I was doing it. We live in a noisy world, do we not? Everything is so much louder than it used to be. I mean, there's constant noise, and I think we're all a part of that. Think about it. How many of you, when you walk in the house, the first thing you do is either turn on the stereo or the radio or the television so that there is background noise? You don't like it when it's real quiet. There's nothing wrong with that, but we do it. Mine is, I get in the car, and the second I hit the button to start the car, my next finger goes to the button that turns on the radio. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear the music, Vance. I want that sound around me. And you know, if it's not artificial noise, it's more than likely the fact that it's our own talking. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't get mad at me. And don't elbow your husband or your wife if you're sitting with them. Has anybody ever accused you of never letting anyone say anything when they're with you? All right, don't nod. Don't put your hand up, Gina. Jeez. But how many times have people said, "You don't even let me get a word in edgewise"? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, and there's people that like their own voice, there's people that have a lot to say, I get all of that. But you know, the fact is we can get like that in our prayer life as well. Always talking, always asking, always pleading, many times demanding, and even complaining. We're always making noise. Is it any wonder why God's silence is so foreign and disturbing to us? We're just not used to that. And I have to also make sure that you understand, and this alludes a little bit to what Katarina said. She didn't know I was going to say this, but it's the same thing. We also have to be careful that whenever we are struggling, whatever trial we might be in the midst of, that we are not continually talking about that problem, giving it life. Does that make sense? I mean, I think it's important for us to share our needs with each other. I think it's important that if there's a problem, bring somebody in, help pray over this with me. But don't be that person who never stops talking about your problem, because while you're doing that, you're continuing to feed it in your life. It's not easy, I know that. But when we pray, when we are having faith in Him, that when I give it to Him, I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm not going to keep this alive in my life. And it's a part of God desiring us to listen to Him. And when He's silent in our lives, He's wanting us to pay attention to Him. You know, I've come to realize that silence is something that can take a lot of different forms. I think you've certainly heard the phrase, silence is golden. You know that. And I think this is especially true when we find ourselves maybe wanting to say something negative about someone, or perhaps to insert ourselves into a conversation that we were not invited to be a part of. You shouldn't be in that conversation. And hopefully, we have the wisdom, the good sense to keep our mouths shut from time to time. And then your absence of words becomes the golden part of it. Your silence is golden. I know when you come home from a long day of work exhausted, many times all you want is just some peace and quiet. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone just for a few minutes. And then that silence becomes a place of rest. But you know, silence can also become uncomfortable. I've done this before. I didn't do it as long this morning. I almost did, but I decided not to. There have been times here before I pray in the morning that I'll stand here and I'll say anything. 6, 7, 10 seconds. How long does that seem? Seems like years. Is the guy going to say anything? What's the matter with him? Did he forget where he was? Did he fall asleep? I don't understand. Just quiet. It makes people uncomfortable sometimes when it's quiet. I have performed funerals where the family will say, hey, we want to give people an opportunity to stand and to maybe have a give a memory or maybe a story of the individual or how they impact their lives. And I will always prepare the group for that so that they know it's coming. And so I'll open that time up and nobody stands. Nobody says anything. We're standing there. It's very quiet. And I'm thinking, nobody liked this guy? Was he mean? Was he an ugly person to people? Are they, you know, what's going on? Now, I don't let that go on for too long, but I'm very aware when there's silence like that, people can get very uncomfortable. But the fact is, church, we read in the Bible about being still and quiet. It should not make us uncomfortable. Two spaces particularly, two spots, God says in Psalm 46:11, very familiar. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. You see, my friends, these instructions are given by God because silence is the posture of listening. You cannot hear God if you're always talking. You need to be silent before Him, because it's only when we are silent that we can clearly hear the voice of God speaking in our lives. If you are concerned that you never seem to hear from God, I might be bold and ask you, do you ever stop talking long enough that you can hear Him? To listen to His voice. Because, my friends, when you are silent, you will hear His voice. When you're still, you'll sense His presence. When you're quiet, you can receive His direction. Because when He is silent, He is often teaching us to listen to His voice, to hear what He has to say. The third reason I think God works in silence is to build our patience. Now, that's a four-letter word. I'm fully aware of that. That is a dirty word, patience, because it is not easy. It's hard. I've shared this with you many times. I caution people, you may not want to pray and ask God for patience, because God doesn't just go, okay, boop, now you're patient. What does He do? He puts you in situations where your patience is required, and that's certainly not easy. But we're very impatient in our lives, aren't we not? How many of you stand in front of the microwave going, let's go? How long is this going to take? We want things immediately. I begin to get antsy when I pull up to the drive-through window at the bank and nobody has said hello to me before my window even comes down. Where are you? Let's go. I got things to do. We're impatient. We want our answers immediately. And you know, the funny thing is, with this, you've got all the answers almost immediately to anything that you want to know. I love to read. And when we go away on vacation, I'm going to have several books with me. Some of them are good books, good for my heart, for my mind, and my spirit. They're good books. Some books are just brain candy, you know, the kind you just read to be entertained. And I gravitate toward those, like those black op books, you know, the disgraced Green Beret who now his country needs him because there's a nuclear bomb planted somewhere, you know, Reacher, you know, that kind of stuff. I love those kinds of books. Well, many of the authors will write great detail, and they'll talk about some Russian billionaire who owns this exotic pair of shoes, and they give the name the shoes. I pull out my phone. I want to see what these shoes look like, and they're real. I have a bucket list now of items that I am never going to own, but I want them. There's a pair of Italian shoes that are made that cost like $12,000, and it's just this little cobbler in a village in Italy. I'm never going to get them, but I found out about them immediately. Rod and I will be sitting having breakfast at the diner after working out, and we'll be talking about sports. And who's that guy that set that record? There he is. We have all the information immediately, whatever it is that we need to know. But the problem with that, church, is that same impatience can easily be carried into our expectations of God. And so as a result of that, we want our prayer answered before we even say amen. We want our deliverance now. We want breakthrough now. I want heavenly provision in my life right now. And the fact is, God's timing is never our timing. What you want in this moment, God knows whether it's the right thing or not. And I don't know about you, but the vast majority of my life, when I've demanded something of God, it has not shown up because my timing is never right with Him. And I have been one of those people that have looked back years later and said, thank you, Jesus, that I did not get what I asked for in that moment. Anybody else? Boy, I'm glad He didn't give me what I asked for. That would have been a nightmare. He does not work or move according to our expectations. He works on His own perfect schedule. His pace of action is not going to be ours. He may seemingly be answering your prayer at the speed of a snail, and you're looking for this thing to arrive on the back of a cheetah. That's how we see things. And yet God does not move in that way. And so with all of that, be reminded of who He is. Listen to Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts greater than your thoughts. Because in God's silence, He's teaching us to wait on Him. We can then see more clearly, and I think with much greater certainty and conviction, God is never late. He's never late in answering your prayer, church. He's also never early. His timing is flawless, and it's always right for you in your situation. And within that patience comes the realization that God is always at work, even when you cannot see it, and when it's not happening as fast that you think that it should. Your faith in Him is what sustains you. So God works in the silence to increase our faith. He works in the silence to teach us to listen. He works in the silence to build our patience. Here's the last one. God works in silence to prepare you for the breakthrough. He's preparing you for what it is that He's going to do. Silence is the birthplace of breakthrough. Again, if you are frenetically doing all kinds of things and if you're trying your best, God, I'm going to give you a hand on this. Seems you're a little late. You got a lot going on. I understand. Obviously, these are words you would never say, but are they not, though, what we're projecting when we do that? We get antsy. We're not willing to be patient in Him. I'm going to help you out, God. I want to help you move this along. But God doesn't need that from us because there are the hidden places in our lives. It's those places that God shapes us. It's in those hidden places that He molds us and He prepares us for what it is He's going to be bringing. In the silence, God works. In the hidden, He prepares. In the unseen, He arranges. And when He determines that the time is right, He'll release the breakthrough into your life. Yet is it not true that you may from time to time think, my prayer is just simply not getting answered. My prayer is not getting answered. I don't know what's going on. And yet, if you were to look at some prayers of some very spiritually gigantic people from the Scriptures, you'd realize that this is often how God operates. God does not always answer a prayer with yes. Moses, you read this in Deuteronomy 3. Moses begged God to let him take the people into Jordan, across the Jordan to Canaan. God, please, let me take the people. This is Moses now. But you know what happened. You know the story. Moses committed a sin of disobedience in the desert. And as a consequence of that, God said, you'll be able to see it, Moses. You're not taking them in. Moses asked him, please let me take them in. God said, no, you're going to die on Mount Nebo. Someone else is going to carry them through. But Moses was certainly sincere in that prayer. The Apostle Paul, we read this in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, I asked God on three separate occasions to take the thorn from my flesh. There was a physical thing that Paul had to deal with. It's never specified. There are some suppositions of what it might have been. But the fact is, God answered his prayer and said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said to Paul, you're going to have to live with this. And then the one that always comes to my mind immediately, yes, Moses and Paul, Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out, God, if there's any way that I do not have to go through what I know is coming, take it from me. And you know, God said, no, this is the way that it needs to happen. Because Jesus was willing to submit his will to the Father's will. Think about the children of Israel. They're in Egypt. Joseph has been long dead. And the Bible tells us that there's a new Pharaoh that did not know who Joseph was. And as a result of that, the children of Israel were in slavery for over 430 years. Do you not think that there were times when they were asking, God, why don't you hear us? Why don't you answer our prayer? Don't you care? Does your promise to Abraham not mean anything anymore? Can you not see how we're suffering? But the fact is, God was silent in that time because he was waiting for the deliverer to be born. He was waiting for Moses to come, who would lead the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. He wasn't absent. He was simply waiting for his will to be accomplished. Because, my friends, in the silence of God, it's not emptiness, it's his fullness. It's not his absence, it's his very real presence. It's not earthly stagnation, it's divine activity that's taking place when God is silent. He's working in your life, my friends, in this moment, in his silence. And maybe there are some of you here this morning that are going, boy, this guy's hitting the nail on the head for me. I feel like God has just not said a word to me in so long. I feel like my prayers are getting no higher than the ceiling. I feel like as if somehow God is just not present. But I can assure you, He is preparing your breakthrough. He's arranging the circumstances. He's aligning his people. He's positioning the resources. But you must continue to develop your faith. You must stop talking long enough to be able to listen to his voice. You must embrace the wisdom of patience. And you must prepare your heart and your mind for the breakthrough that God is going to be bringing. You know, I think there's probably never been a time of such desperation and apparent hopelessness inflicted on one people in the same way that the Israelites had to endure in the Bible than the Jews did during World War II. And there was found on a wall in a cellar in Köln, Germany, a place that was used to hide the Jews from the Nazis. And they would be down there for long, long extended periods of time before they could secret them out and save them. But when the war had come to a conclusion and they went down in this basement room, they saw an inscription that had been scratched into the wall. It said this: "I believe in the sun when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I can't feel it. And I believe in God, even when He is silent." That is the faith in God and what He is sovereignly doing that I believe, my friends, we should desire in our lives. To do whatever it takes to come to that place to know, even though I don't hear Him, even though I do not see Him, He is present. He's working. And there's power in what He's doing to change my life. There is power in the silence of God. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, this is not an